Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton, with a look into issues facing today's Christian women. Let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Hey there, Kimberly here today. So I am a big believer in the value of marriages and also in the idea of being a cherished wife. One of the hardest relationships, however, to be cherished in is the blended family. So many reasons. So today, marriage and family therapist Joel Walton is going to be joining us again, and we're going to be talking about something near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is the topic of being in a blended family. So thanks for being here, Joel. Happy to have you here.
Thank you, and it's a real pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk about this very important topic.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, too, because we'll get to have kind of a male-female and both of our takes on it, because it is such a really, really important topic. And I want to start this topic by just helping us to kind of understand, or the listeners to understand, what is a blended family? What's the definition of a blended family? And basically, to me, a blended family is when you have a couple that have children, that it's one or more children from a previous relationship.
That's right. Commonly, they're referred to as stepkids, but that's kind step of families, yeah. Step families. And that term, I think, is kind of grown out of favor, and so blended seems to be the preferred term that they use now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an estimated a third of the population in the U.S. Is going to be involved in some capacity of step parent or step child.
And that's a good point, because I know we were talking about this before, that it's like 100 million people are either a stepchild, a step parent, or have a step sibling. So that's a third of the U.S. So where we're at right now, that means if I just look across the hall into another studio, one of the three of us is dealing with a step. I mean, this is a huge number to look at.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's almost startling is how large it's become. Right now, 30% of new marriages are blended, and the number's rising. I mean, historically, the percentage of blended families has increased to where it's really at the point at 50% right now of the people will be involved in some capacity of having a blended family.
Wait, so hold on a second. So 30% of all new marriages are blended, and we're looking at sometime in the near future having 50% of all families basically some sort of blendedness.
That's correct. And you know, just to take a look at where we've come from in just our lifetime, I mean, if you look at kids raised in a two-parent or intact original family, back in the 60s, 73% of all families were intact.
So three quarters of the people in the 60s were basically in a two-parent intact family where both of the parents, it was their first marriage, just kind of the Ozzie and Harriet sort of thing.
Absolutely. And then by the 80s, that had moved to, had a drop to 60%. So in the 80s, 60% were original families. Mm-hmm. And now we're approaching the number of about 40%. So we've gone beyond, and only 40% of existing families are original.
Right. So we in the 60s were three quarters of the families were intact, bio parents, single or not single, but first marriage, things like that. And now we're looking at only 40%, so less than 50% of the families are, the kids are living with both their parents and it's their parents' first marriage. So that's a trend. I mean, if we look at it from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and today, the trend is, it's going down or
right
up if you're talking about who's going to be in blended families.
Right, and it's you know, it has affected the church as well. This is not something that's just alienated to the secular world. This is impacting the churches as well. And this is why churches, for the most part, oftentimes aren't really prepared to deal with it.
Right. And I think this is a kind of, in some cases, a touchy subject with some of the churches, because they don't know how to deal with it. These are families that have special needs. These are not the typical family that might be having some struggles. These are really special needs. And I think that not having, in some cases, the churches set up to deal with it, it compounds the problem of the blended family. And I think it contributes to some of the failure rate of second marriages.
I agree. And, you know, when we talk about why is this that the churches aren't being able to step into this void, and there are a couple of reasons. And I think the thing we need to be careful is it's not because churches are necessarily critical of second marriages or hostile towards it, but oftentimes they're just not aware. They don't know that these numbers have changed so much. And, you know, when people don't feel supported, they're not going to be going to those churches.
And so that
oftentimes they just feel, you know, that it's not a safe place for them to necessarily be.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but blended families, they're so complex. There's so many moving parts. And the thing that I really want the listeners to understand with this, with blended families, the rule for how a bio family works is not the same for the blended or step family. All the rules are different. And that's something people really need to understand. You're not gonna be able to apply the rules that if you were an intact family with both the bio parents' first marriage, those rules aren't gonna apply.
That's correct. And you know, one of the, it is so pervasive as far as this idea that these rules don't apply. You know, one of the common terms we've heard is that with an intact family, that the best way a father can love his family is to what?
Love the mother.
Mm-hmm. And most people could finish that sentence. Mm-hmm. But in a blended family, there's so many different dynamics. Oftentimes, loving the mother puts that child in a precarious position of feeling alienated, because they could be dealing with the grief of the breakup of the previous relationship, or if it was a loss of a parent. And so you loving that mother as a father, the new father coming in that relationship, changes that child's dynamic.
Well, they could be jealous of the time.
Absolutely.
And there
anger,
can be
loss,
anger, confusion. They're not sure where to go with that. So, you know, when it comes to the blended family, one of the things I like to tell people is there's several players. We have the children, we have the parents, and then we have the other adults. These are grandparents, aunts, uncles, etc.
That's correct.
And I want to talk about the kids in these scenarios, because in my heart, these are the most vulnerable in this situation. They are the ones that have, in some ways, the most to lose. So I know you have something to share on this, Joel. We've talked about this a couple times.
Well, you know, we grew up in my day during the 60s and 70s watching the Brady Bunch. That was way back when. And for those younger listeners, that was a program that had two blended families. And it was really the kind of the watershed moment, I think, in television where this idea of a blended family became, you know, kind of
common. We were like, oh, wow, it's a blended family. You know what, though? We look back and I see everything going on now with my clients and your clients, and that so isn't real.
Yeah, but what, you know, the point that they brought, while they brought the topic up and got it to where we would start talking about it, the picture they gave of the blended family, I don't think was necessarily accurate, because it did not show the degree of complexity, because you never saw, you know, where were the other parents?
Right. Well, they made it, the family was, in a way, it was just like an average family having average problems.
Right.
They didn't have the contrast, they didn't have the comparison, and maybe some of it had to do with the three boys and the this and that, but there was a number of things as I look back now, I go, wow, that wouldn't have gone down like that. Not today.
Correct.
So now, you know, I'm from a blended family.
That's right.
And as a child, I can attest to the difficulties in blending. I think that my parents expected us to just blend without any sort of notice or guidance. Having to suddenly share a room was huge. And even just sharing my closet and sharing my dad and sharing my home. And some of the rules in the house were different. And I think part of the reason that it was so challenging at times was there wasn't any what I call pre-blending, that their parents didn't really set us up to succeed with some advanced pre-blending. Not that that's a word, but pre-blending, you know what I mean, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
You know, I think it's interesting because, you know, one of the biggest problems is people don't think about what they need to know when they go into having the splendid family, that they don't really go into any kind of a pre-blending counseling, if that we could use that word.
We're making up new words.
We're just winging them here. And the reality, and this is the thing that people don't realize, is that it takes people about 7 years to blend a family. I mean, they rush into this thinking that they're just going to, on day one, everything's going to be great. And it takes 7 years. And oftentimes, that means that some of these kids are growing up and moving out of the house before the family
and
ever...
A lot can happen in 7 years.
That's exactly right.
7 years in a child's life, they're gone through several stages. They've either moved from middle school to high school or from elementary to high school, and they're moving out, or they're dating, or they're this. There's so much goes on in that 7 years. So even though it's 7 years, there's also transition upon transition and change upon change.
Right. And parents expect their kids to adopt and be malleable. And that's just not often the case. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah, I think it does. And I can look back at my own life and see where it did take a long time. And then we had some compounding factors because my little brother got sick with leukemia, and that shifted things. So I think that makes that point. In 7 years, a lot of things can happen, and that can make the blending either happen faster or shorter.
That's correct.
So I want to mention a few things. We've talked about this. We kind of came up with our top 10. Yep. And difficulties and common issues that come up in this blending. And so here's Joel and I's top 10. And if we have time, we'll get through all of these. So I don't want to rush too much, but we might need to drop a couple. And maybe we'll do an article on this for your page and my page on the top 10 issues. And people can always go back and look at those.
And this by no means is an exhausted issue.
No,
this is just like skimming the top. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no particular order, not like order of importance. So the first one I want to mention is, I think that with kids, they start feeling like their territory has been infringed upon or their turf has been violated. And so as parents, we really need to look at making sure that kids don't feel that, but at the same time, understanding that they're having to blend and they're having to share and those kind of things. And kids know how to share if we set them up right.
Right. And that's going to affect so many different areas, sharing of parents' time.
Yes.
Sharing, you know.
Their space, clothes.
Their things.
Even the bathroom. If you blend families and now kids are having to share bedrooms and things, and maybe you've got now four or five people in the house. Maybe let's just say two kids from each family and parents. You've got six kids and two bathrooms. How does that go down? When maybe before it wasn't a, excuse me. It wasn't a problem. Now it may be a problem. So all of that sharing of space, you know, if you're sharing space, sometimes the kids coming into the home may not feel welcome. That's actually point number two as I just move on here. And so sharing the space is going to be really significant. Just even
challenge.
Having kids, moving. I mean, moving alone in itself is challenging. Packing up things, maybe having to get rid of things, having to clean, do this, that. Those things are challenges, right?
That's correct. And all of these, you know, when we're talking about blended family, we're talking about all these different stages people go through. And so these top 10 are really, I think, more tailored towards the early on, which are the kind of the critical points, because they set people up for success.
They set the tone.
They set the tone for how they're going to be dealt with. And so it's important that these things get kind of looked at. But moving is a challenge because you're having to pack up and, you know, maybe not everything's going to fit into the other house, or you got to split things between mom and dad's house. What's going to stay here? What's going to stay there?
Yeah. And that's a stress on kids. You know, the house rules changed. And I think one of the simple things that we've talked about, Joel, is that something as seemingly insignificant as shoes. In one house, you have to take your shoes off when you come in, and another house, you don't.
Right.
And remembering, okay, what do I do here? What do I do here? And these rules, maybe kids never took off their shoes when they come into a house, but now this house, they have to. The rules, even the small ones that seem insignificant to you, can be huge to kids because they're just in a state of, I got to just learn so much so fast.
Right, and we're asking those children to hold all that in their head, as also develop through their stage of lifespan, to be able to just deal with the normal things of a child dealing with in a normal family.
And to not be difficult while they do it.
And not to be difficult.
Yeah.
That's a tall order.
It is, even for adults.
Right.
Scheduling conflicts. I know that in some cases, my clients have had problems where dinner used to be at a certain time, but now it's not because one of the kids is in sports, or what are the homework time? Or do you come home and you have to do homework first? Are you allowed to go play first? Those kind of rules. Well, wait a minute. This is a change. This is something different. Favoritism can be another thing. And I know that's something, Joel, that you speak to with your clients, and being careful with favoritism to really make sure that kids don't feel it, even though they're going to feel it and you can't help but do it.
Right. And this idea of things being fair, there's really no way that you're not going, that everybody at some point is not going to feel something's unfair, or that too much time has been spent, or the rules aren't applied evenly. This is a minefield.
It's impossible.
Right.
It's just impossible. But doing your best isn't impossible. Sharing your parents is going to be a challenge. Now I have to share my parents not only with another person, but also with other kids potentially, right?
That's correct. And if you have one of these children that may be, sick or dealing with some specific issue, this a challenge, the parents might have to, you talked about your
little brother
having leukemia. Well, in that situation,
All the rules change
because now you got a sick child and you're trying to, deal with that.
Yeah.
And those other children can have some, feelings of, a lot of different feelings.
Even in an intact family.
Absolutely.
When everything is, you still have that. And it's understandable that so much attention does go to that child with that some sort of special need.
As it should.
But sharing a parent,
right,
when you haven't had to potentially for years is going to be dramatic if the parent doesn't set their kid up for succeed. And I want, as we're reading through all of these, I want people to remember everything is, you got to set your child up for success.
Right.
You got to set it up for success.
Well, if you happen to like sports and your bio kids don't, as a father, and yet this other, your new wife's son loves to go out and play sports, you could alienate your kids by getting what you think is, hey, I'm going to go out and help him. Let's go throw the ball.
Bond.
While your other kids are sitting playing computer games and feeling that you're not
left out.
They're left out.
Even though they wouldn't want to go play ball.
They don't have no desire to play ball.
But but that's how kids think. I mean, even adults.
Right.
And that sets us up for point number 8, which is sibling rivalry. Again, we even have these in intact families, but it becomes magnified at times in a blended family.
Absolutely.
So with sibling rivalry, it could be something like the kids that are blending, that one of the kids is more of a jock, one of the kids is smarter, you're comparing, one kid's more aloof, one kid's more attractive, whatever it might be. And now maybe they're all at the same school and everybody knows they've been blended. And it's like, well, you're not like your sister, or what about this? Or,
right.
It can get so complicated.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. And so point number 9 that I want to bring up here is confusion when it comes to identity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll speak to that for a second.
Well, oftentimes when, somebody gets remarried, the wife will take the name of the husband. And so you've now got different children with different last names. And if you're in a public setting and you're introducing people, then all of a sudden you've got, one of your children having a different name, they're going to be put on the spotlight. Like, well, what's that about? And that can even happen at church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very common problem. And what that does is the child then internalizes that and says, I'm really not a part of this family. My name's not the same. So it takes the parent to be able to step in at that point and speak to that.
Right. Well, and I have an interesting story on that, where when my youngest, who's 21 now, we had changed pediatricians, and always looking for the teachable moment. That's how I roll.
There you go.
I was sitting there with paperwork, and I was asking him the questions on the paperwork so he'd understand what kind of questions come up when you have to fill out forms and things like that. And when we went back to see the pediatrician, there was a note on his record that said, with stepmom. And I think because I had asked all these questions, somebody was observing and they thought, oh, she must not know these answers. And I have to tell you, I felt kind of weird about that. Like, oh, I'm not his stepmom. I'm his mom. I birthed this little one. And so I made a point of letting the doctor know.
It was an easy birth.
I was like, hey, he was an easy, he's been an easy child since pregnancy. I never had any problems, just so that they'd know. I just realized that other people are also on the lookout for, is this a step parent or is it not a step parent?
So that identity confusion can apply to the parents as well.
Yeah. I was so confused. No, I knew he was mine. That does go on to another point here, is that the children, can have complications with a step parent. Do they love me? Do they not love me? Not feeling like you're part of the family. Those kind of things can be significant.
Right.
Right. I also want to add one more point, and then we're going to move on because we've got a few minutes left. So sometimes being another difficulty can be over-involvement or even the undermining of the ex-husband or the ex-wife. And that's one of those, that's a whole different topic that we could talk about a whole nother day.
Yeah, we could go in for days on that topic because you're dealing with oftentimes, you know, residual resentment from the previous relationship, that you know, that the damage that was created. What happens oftentimes is parents, the ex-parent or the parent will inject, like buy a new phone for one of the kids, a brand new iPhone. Well, the other kids don't have that, and so now how do you deal with it? You're back to that.
Do I have to buy something for my other kids? And
right. And
and even in the amicable splits
that can come up.
And
then
all of a sudden,
they talk about the Disneyland dad where that he wants to lavish the kids with gifts and things. Well, that's his kids.
Yeah.
Not the other kids.
Yeah. And how do you make it fair?
And how do you make it fair?
So we've just covered it like 10 of these and briefly here. In the few minutes we have left, Joel, give me some ideas of what your favorite tips are for people.
Well, I've got a couple of suggestions. And again, let's go back to that first one, the idea that this takes 7 years. I mean, that when I tell people that, they generally, their jaws drop, that this idea that this is not going to go down the way you envision it to go down. And that is probably the biggest thing. So this idea of you've got to go slow. You've got to slow it down, and you got to realize that you're not only are these children trying to develop into adults, you're asking them to understand the complexity of your relationship as well. You need to be less demanding. You need to expect things to be less imperfect.
Oh, that's an important one.
Yeah. You have to look for activities that bring the family together, not divide it. That's important. And you need to speak about and to the ex with respect. That is important. Yeah. That's one of the really important things, because you don't want that child to be feeling bad about being in the situation they're in. And then manage self-care. You talk about this quite a bit.
Yeah, I do on my website. Self-care is important. And I don't mean like, just like relax and have a cup of tea with friends. I mean, sometimes you're going to have to sit there and freaking cry. Put on a chick flick and cry. And you're going to have to do some serious. If you want to look at self-care in what I call my four cups, which is the mental, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, visit my website at cherishedwives.com and do a search for the unglamorous self-care article. It's a really good article. Now, so those are some great suggestions, Joel. What would be your best advice when it comes to this? Those are some suggestions, but what's your, like here in our last couple minutes, what's your parting best advice?
I think my parting best advice, and people I work with, because I do a lot of work with blended families, probably one of the things I do, would be have a realistic plan and expectations.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to be easy.
Yeah.
Be patient. You know, it's not ideal. This isn't an ideal situation.
No.
It's not going to be ideal. And you have to be willing to accept that imperfection is going to be part of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is your job is to get these kids raised. Swallow your pride. Deal with the feelings of resentment that are normal. But let's get these kids raised, because the honeymoon for many blended families come after the kids get out of the house.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point that I want to echo here, is that your job, once you have kids, is to get them raised, and to get them raised with as little as difficulties as possible, and little scars and everything else. And that's your priority. Once they're out of the house, you can work on maybe a little bit more on your relationship. So I appreciate that that's one of your main points that you really do hammer into the scenario here.
Yes, blended families can work very well, but they do require the extra help.
Right. So in the last minute here that we have, I want to say that if you've joined us late or you've missed part of this, then I encourage you to visit Joel's website at mendedlife.com. He'll have this posted up on his website so you can catch this again. You can also visit my website at cherishedwives.com, where we'll have it posted up as well. And this is such an important topic. I mean, so important, that we want to be able to cover it, you know, adequately, and we can't in one session. So we're going to continue this in our discussion next week, when we're going to cover the roles of parents and how couples can bond and what they can do and how they can contribute to the success of a blended family. And we're even going to talk about the other adults in the family. okay? And all of those different points. And we'll even repeat a couple of these things if you've missed them. So what we've got is next week we're going to talk about the other part of this. So until next week, my friend, have a very blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit CherishedWives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for Cherished Women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at CherishedWives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.